Welcome to this deep dive, where we unpack some really fascinating source material that was shared with us by one of our dedicated listeners.
It's a fantastic collection of writings.
It is. And today, we're diving into the true meaning, the history, and the profound practice of gratitude, all framed around the Thanksgiving season.
And it really moves beyond just the historical facts. It gets into the spiritual and cultural heart of the holiday.
It really does. And before we jump in, we want to extend a very warm welcome to you, especially those of you who are subscribers of a Great Awakening Report.
Yes, a big welcome.
We really thank you for continuing to walk this path of insight and connection with us.
And the sources we're looking at today are actually drawn from a special Thanksgiving 2025 edition of that very report.
Right.
It's presented as this heartfelt offering. The text itself calls it a bridge back to the people who matter most. That idea of connection, it's just woven through everything.
That framing is so powerful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Especially now when things can feel so fractured.
Yeah.
The report just missed it. It immediately sets the tone. It opens with a series of short stories. They call it a Thanksgiving harvest. And it's all designed to just center you on gratitude, on healing.
And those quiet miracles of the season.
Exactly. It's a strong reminder that hope isn't, you know, lost. It's just waiting for us to notice it again.
Right. So I think the mission of our deep dive here, based on all this, is to explore gratitude not as some simple, fleeting holiday feeling, but as what the source calls a living pulse, an alchemy even, that can transform loss into learning and separation into a sense of belonging. We're going deep.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack the origins, because our sources are very clear that the story of Thanksgiving is way more complex than that simple classroom version, you know, the one we all grew up with.
Much more complex.
So where do the sources tell us to start? Before 1621, even.
We have to start with the land itself. The idea that long before any colonists arrived, Thanksgiving was already a core practice here.
How so?
It was a ceremony of gratitude to the land. The indigenous nations, they practiced daily, perpetual gratitude, honoring the sun, the rain, the harvest. It was just a fundamental way of living in balance with the world.
So this idea of a feast of thanks, it wasn't new to the Wampanoag people at all.
Not in the slightest. It was an ingrained generational practice for them.
Yeah.
And that context, it changes everything about how you see that 1621 meal.
It really does.
That meeting between the Plymouth settlers and the Wampanoag, it was really a collision of two completely different worldviews.
Right.
For the Wampanoag, led by Chief Massasoit, the feast was just part of their cultural rhythm. For the settlers, it was about, you know, acknowledging that they had improbably survived in this harsh new place.
The source calls it a moment of fragile hope.
Fragile hope, exactly. Yeah. But it also stresses that the story was very quickly simplified and mythologized.
And the sources are very clear that the Wampanoag's help was, well, it was essential. They shared agricultural knowledge that literally ensured the settlers' survival.
They did. Their generosity is what made that moment in history possible. But the report, it doesn't shy away from the truth of what came next.
Which was?
That those interactions, they were very rapidly marked by conflict, displacement, and just catastrophic loss for the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And this leads to a really core point in the report, that true gratitude can't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah.
It has to be rooted in truth, acknowledgement, and respect. Otherwise, it's just empty sentiment.
That's a key distinction.
Hmm.
Okay, so moving past that incredibly complex first moment, here's where it gets really interesting to me. How did this go from being a regional survival-based thing to a national holiday?
Well, that transition took centuries. I mean, for a long time in the colonial era, days of thanks were declared pretty erratically.
For what kinds of things?
Practical stuff. Mm. Relief from a drought, a victory in some battle, deliverance from a plague. And the sources note they were usually quite somber, prayerful events, often more about fasting, not feasting.
Then we get George Washington. He tries to frame it nationally for the first time.
Right. In 1789, he formalizes a national day of Thanksgiving, and he specifically asks Americans to be thankful for the blessings of liberty and the formation of its new constitution.
So it's a shift from thanking God for survival to gratitude for a political idea, for unity.
Exactly. That laid the intellectual groundwork. But it really took a massive national crisis, the Civil War, to cement the holiday's meaning as we know it now.
And this is where Sarah Joseph A. Hill comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, the same woman who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, which is just amazing.
It is. And her work was tireless. The source material talks about how she campaigned for four decades.
Four decades. I love that detail. She wrote letters to five different presidents. Five.
Basically making the case over and over that a unified national holiday was a tool for cultural cohesion, something everyone could share.
And it finally worked with Lincoln.
Her efforts culminated in President Lincoln's 1863 proclamation. And think about the timing. During one of the darkest chapters in American history, Lincoln reframes the whole holiday. It's not just about bounty anymore. He makes it a ritual of collective healing, calling on Americans to heal the wounds of the nation. It becomes this engine for unity.
So Lincoln gives us this ritual of unity during war. But as the source points out, that definition doesn't really stick for long, does it?
No, the holiday keeps shifting. It reflects the nation's values, its economy. By the early 20th century, with industrial growth, it starts to become a celebration of material abundance.
Sheer quantity of stuff.
Exactly. But then, of course, that gets challenged immediately by the Great Depression and then World War II. The focus has to shift again from abundance to perseverance to resilience.
And that's where we get that iconic image, right? Norman Rockwell's Freedom from Want.
Yes, published during the war, and it just cemented the emotional meaning of the holiday for generations. It completely captured the national imagination.
Because it wasn't about extravagance.
Not at all. It was about the simple blessing of home, of family, of togetherness. It made a very clear statement that what was worth fighting for was peace and generosity around a table. It pulled the focus back to relationships.
Which brings us to today. The modern Thanksgiving is a true mosaic reflecting this incredible complexity of America.
Absolutely. After years of the date moving around, Congress finally fixed it in 1941, fourth Thursday in November. And that's when you start to see the standardization of traditions like the Macy's Parade.
And football. You have to have football.
You have to have football. But the table itself is probably the best reflection of our diversity now. The sources really spend some time on this.
On the cultural harmony in the food.
Yeah. It's not just turkey and stuffing anymore. The report says, for many families, the feast has tamales beside cranberry sauce, kimchi next to cornbread, or biryani served alongside mashed potatoes.
I love that. It shows how American identity is really this synthesis of cultures, each one bringing its own way of giving thanks to the table. It's like gratitude naturally creates inclusion.
And there's another trend the sources point to, this move toward more mindful, conscious feasting.
You mean like mashed cauliflower instead of potatoes?
Exactly, that kind of thing. Transforming classic recipes using natural sweeteners, but not out of necessity, out of choice. It reflects a dual gratitude for the harvest, but also a responsibility to sustain ourselves and the environment.
Okay, but this brings up the critical question that the sources really confront head on.
Mm-hmm.
How do we hold gratitude and historical truth at the same time? We can't talk about the evolution of the holiday without acknowledging the National Day of Mourning.
We absolutely can't, and it's vital that we do. It was established by Native leaders in Plymouth back in 1970.
And it's a solemn observance.
It is. It honors the suffering, the displacement, and the immense loss endured by Indigenous peoples since colonization began. It stands in direct contrast to that simplified myth of 1621.
And what I really appreciate about the report is that it doesn't pit one truth against the other. It doesn't say one cancels the other out.
No, it says the coexistence of gratitude and remembrance actually deepens the holiday. It forces it to become more than just a shallow, nostalgic thing. It becomes a profound act of remembrance.
It requires us to hold the full weight of history, the good and the tragic.
That tension forces introspection, which is really at the heart of true gratitude. And beyond the history and the food, there's the journey itself, the movement. The source calls it an annual pilgrimage.
An experience of endurance and anticipation. Anyone who's been in an airport the day before Thanksgiving knows exactly what that means.
Oh, absolutely. But then you arrive, and the home becomes, as the source says, a sanctuary of belonging.
It really talks about how thoughtful design, natural textures, ambient light can transform a space.
Yeah.
That the most beautiful tables are the ones that embrace, they welcome everyone, presence over perfection.
And that idea of gratitude as a universal human principle, it's reinforced when the report looks globally. This isn't just an American thing. It's not bound by borders.
Right, you see it everywhere, like in Japan with Kinrokansha Nohai, Labor Thanksgiving Day.
Which honors hard work, not the harvest.
Or in Germany, their Erntedankfest, the Harvest Festival, which is this huge community event.
Or Chuseok in Korea, a major harvest festival that's all about family traveling back to their ancestral hometowns. It combines gratitude for the harvest with this deep remembrance of ancestors.
So the sources suggest this just proves gratitude transcends culture, belief, and background. It's a fundamental human connection point.
And that leads right into how faith fuels the practice. For so many people, gratitude isn't just an emotion, it's a sacred practice.
One that turns ordinary moments into holy ground.
Exactly. In Christianity, gratitude is described as a spiritual posture. The instruction to give thanks in all circumstances, it's an act of trust.
And in Islam, there's the practice of shukr, thankfulness, which is seen as a sacred duty, a path to inner peace.
And Buddhism views gratitude through the lens of interdependence, the awareness that nothing exists in isolation. Every single meal, every breath depends on countless other causes and conditions.
And these huge philosophical ideas, they manifest in really simple, powerful rituals, right?
They do. Yeah. The Sirenses talk about things as simple as starting the day with a quiet intention, or sharing blessings around the table, or even creating those gratitude jars where the family adds notes all year.
Those small acts become spiritual anchors.
They do. And this all ties back perfectly to that idea of mindfulness. The source calls Thanksgiving mindfulness in motion.
That conscious appreciation of each moment. The smell of the pie, the feeling of a hand in yours.
Yes. That's what allows us to glimpse the divine woven through even the smallest details of life.
That transformation really is the ultimate takeaway, isn't it? Gratitude shifts our focus from what's missing to what's meaningful.
From fear to faith, from isolation to connection. The practice is a spiritual anchoring that can ground us when the world feels like too much.
So what does this all mean for us as we navigate this season? I mean, this deep dive shows that Thanksgiving has never been static. It's always evolving.
From colonial survival to national unity, from abundance to resilience.
Yet his heart stays the same. Remembrance, truth, and deep connection.
And the report's closing reflection, it leaves us with this pretty profound challenge. Gratitude is not merely something we express once a year.
It's something we have to become.
Exactly. A way of living that transforms the ordinary into the holy. That's the real invitation of the season.
We've seen how gratitude is a bridge between past and future, between myth and memory, between people. It's the compass that guides us home. So we'll leave you with this final thought for the week.
Mm-hmm.
If gratitude truly is that compass, how can you practice more mindful awareness this week to make sure every single day feels like its own small form of Thanksgiving?